Ramsey TV.
I got one for you. Tell me if you've heard this one before. I don't think you've heard this one before. I'm gonna lay it on you right now. I just had this thought and it was wild, and I think it's, well, I know it's right. I absolutely know it's right. And it's this. Has the music stopped yet? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The number of human beings. Hang on a second. Okay. Wait for this. Let me light my cigarette up. This is another revelation from your friend. You expect this from me. Don't make fun of me. I know I don't know how to smoke. I don't care. The number of human beings is finite. Why is this important to know? Well, first of all, not everybody realizes this, because from our little perspective here on Earth, everything seems infinite. The stars seem infinite. Time seems infinite. Our days seem infinite. The people that have lived and died and that are living today seem infinite. The planets, you go out into space, they got the Hubble telescope out there showing us in space. Space seems infinite. Let me tell you something. Oh, and how about insects? Insects seem infinite. Bugs innumerable. Ants, flies, chiggers, fleas, roaches. But let me ask you this. Don't the hairs on your head seem infinite? There's our first clue that God is a God of micromanagement, because every single hair on your head is numbered. Who cares, right? God does. And I like the thought of finiteness, because it's so tempting to think that God is just out there and God is random, that he's not really paying attention, and that things keep coming and going. There's no limit. There's no end to our suffering, to our trials. There's no end to our days. Of course, we all know people die. Oh, by the way, you have a finite number of heartbeats on this earth. That doesn't mean you're going to die. It just means you have a finite number of heartbeats. Those of us who will remain alive will use up our allotment of heartbeats. But think about this. Before God wrote the script of the eons, he knew exactly how many human beings he wanted to bring into the world. And it is a finite number. I'm talking about starting with Adam to the very last human being. Yes, there is a last human being. And I'm talking about before the consummation. I'm not even talking about in this particular eon, because we know in the 1,000 years of the kingdom eon, there are going to be people being born. And I believe human beings will be being born, mortals, mind you, mortals will be being born on the new heavens, on the new earth. None of this happens in the heavens. There is no procreation in the heavens as far as I know. If I find out that there is, you'll be the first to know. I envy every single human being that I see, because God brought human beings into the world. Even those who don't believe the gospel now, to eventually enjoy eternal fellowship with him. And human beings have a greater capacity for that than do the lower orders of life. And since Charles isn't here right now, I can talk about him. Like Charles, for instance. All right, I look into Charles' eyes, very intelligent being. Sometimes I envy Charles because he seems to have a lot less problems than I do sometimes. Charles is intelligent. Animals are intelligent. I understand that. You look into their eyes and you just see the intelligence. And yet they are a lower order of life. They will be glorified, but they will not be glorified to the same degree that we are glorified. They will be lesser beings in the celestial realm. But back to human beings. God has just so many of us. And it is an incredible blessing and advantage. Forget about being a believer now. Just to be born into the human race, it means that God has a special plan for you. That you are born with a capacity to understand your surroundings. Some of us to a greater degree than others. To feel, to think. And because of this, these human beings will also have the capacity to be glorified and to worship God in new bodies. Therefore, I would tell anyone this. I would tell the basest, grossest person on the planet that you, sir or madam, are blessed to be a part of the human race. The human race was not invented until Adam. There was no such thing as a human race. God, in the Garden of Eden, was creating a race of beings that he could fellowship with most intimately because we are made in the image of God. Doesn't say dogs are. Sorry, Charles. Don't tell Charles I said this. Charles is not made in the image of God. Sorry. And as nice as your cats may be, they're not made in the image of God. Adam, that is humanity, is made in the image of God because this will allow God fellowship that he longs for, that he craves. Don't you like it when you get together with fellow believers? Because instantly you have this rapport and you understand each other and you can hit the ground running, talk about all things about God that you just can't talk about with your heathen atheist friends. It's just like, okay, I'm going to be spending time with Aunt Sue and she doesn't know anything and it's going to be this stupid talk, you know, about fashion or interior design, and you know, it's just not great. So God wants to have beings that he can really relate to and that he can regale with tales of the early days of the universe. This is what human beings are for. We think human beings are simply self-contained entities, but they're made for the glory of God. They're made to be able to eventually understand God, to eventually be able to fellowship with God, and that God can fellowship with them. We forget this. God created all creation in order to have fellowship, right? He was lonely, you might say. I'm speaking in human terms, speaking as a man. That's all I got right now. But God wants fellowship. And the first being he created, I will call Christ a human being, but he was of a different order. He is a man, though. Yes, for sure. Jesus Christ was the first creation of God. There's only one of him, although he is bringing many sons to glory, but he's the inaugural son. God had the most intimate fellowship with him. He understood. Christ understood God. Now, we know that the heavens is sprinkled with other forms of spiritual life. And some of these understand God very well. For instance, there are four animals at the throne of God. We read that in the book of Revelation. There are 24 elders in the celestial realms. I think they are quite astute, very knowledgeable, and God probably has some good fellowship with them, but not like the intimacy that he has with his son. Okay, so just go down the line. Jesus Christ, and now a race of beings who have the special privilege. This is going to sound crazy to you. Special privilege of being born decaying. Yes, I said born decaying. Why is that great? Because it's a scriptural principle that the lower you go, the higher you go. So because we have been subjected to sin and death, unlike the celestial beings, even the wicked ones, well, they've been subjected to sin, but not to death. But because of our humiliation, we will be glorified above and beyond those who have not been humiliated. We see this pattern with Christ. It says in Philippians that he humbled himself to death, even to the death of the cross. And therefore, Paul says, because of that, God highly exalts him. So, after the cross, Jesus Christ was highly exalted and had a glory above the glory that he had when he was with the Father before coming to earth. So he will always have more glory than us, but we're right behind him, because we have tasted sin and death. So the whole world is groaning and travailing because they've been subjected to this hard lot. But people come, people go. I have made some shows from the cemetery over here. People come, people go. A lot of them are in the ground. A lot of them have disintegrated, but they will be regathered. They will be revived. They will be eventually vivified, and they are a most privileged race of beings because they are going to enjoy, and when they see it, when they come into it, they'll understand it. Of course, among humanity, we are even more special because God is giving us the secrets of the universe, the secrets of sin, death, and salvation. He's giving that to us now because God can't wait. See, God's not going to wait. God doesn't want to wait until the consummation, until every human being is vivified and given full load of the Spirit of God. Oh, he doesn't want to wait. He's rather impatient that way. So he wants fellowship now. So he has it with us and he has it with Christ. And so every single human being was born for this, Even aborted babies, yes, they will be resurrected. If any of you women out there have aborted babies, be at peace. Be at peace. You have a child in the celestial. When that child, it was a human life. Human life begins at conception. That is a human being. Aborted babies count as one of the finite number of human beings that God had in mind to produce. And you're going to have, if you have other children, you're going to have another child in the resurrection. If you've had miscarriages after miscarriages and have never had a child, I beg to differ. You have had a child. It just was not allowed by God to take hold and develop. But if it's a fertilized egg, then that's a human being. And that human being was created to enjoy eternity with God in deep bliss, deep happiness, deep fellowship with God. Okay, now I'm going to talk about Charles and his kin. Animals were also created for this purpose, but they will not have, they also tasted of sin and death. They're not sinners themselves, but they come under the jurisdiction of our sin, but they're certainly mortal. And so because of that, they're going to have a special resurrection, and they will be able to absorb, to understand, to take in the glories that God has for them. So just picture. Oh, before I finish, I want to talk about insects, because there's a finite number of insects too. Every insect is numbered. Every insect that was ever created to be in this world there is a number. There's a specific number. God says, I want this many. It's a big number, big number. The number of humans is not that big. But if God can name the insects and he can count the insects, he can sure as heck count human beings. It's no problem to him. It tickles me that it's finite, because it means that God is in control, that God has planned it, that God has not just cast out some random plan and, well, however many human beings come into being, that's how many come into being. No, they were all purposed. And the insects, oh my God, imagine this. All the insects that have ever been, they have souls, they are living souls, they move on their own. That's one of the qualifications of a soul. And so they will be glorified. And so think of all the insects that are going to be flitting around in heaven. They'll be changed. I told this to somebody and they said, I don't want to see a fly up there. I hate flies. Mosquitoes, you can tell me mosquitoes are going to be changed. They're going to be changed. Just like you've been changed. Just like Hitler's going to be changed. Mosquitoes, every one of them will be changed. They will no longer be pesky things. They will no longer bug you. That's where the name bug comes from. They bug you. They won't be that anymore. They will be transformed just like you were, and they will be part of the swarm of glory and fellowship that will redound to the glory of God. God's going to love it. So his circle of fellowship goes from Christ to us, to Charles and dogs and cats and then to insects, but they all have their own capacities to worship God and to enjoy, to feel pleasure about being in the circle of God. And it's all for God's glory because, man, he loves fellowship. He loves fellowship. And so when you see a down and out human being, when you see some poor person who's just like down and out, think this, that they won the lottery. They won the lottery just to be born a human being. Because when you see the fulfilled capacity, when you see the future, the glorious future, which at that time will be a reality, when you see that, and when they see it, they are going to thank God that they were born into the human race. They're going to go, oh my God, thank you for making me a human being. Thank you for making me a human being. Thank you for making me a human being. If we could only catch on to this now.